Good morning, everybody. Thank y'all for being here. They probably don't need an introduction. We all remember me and Sharon. And her friend over here. So thank y'all for bringing along. And I think it's kind of funny because I know I just found out that PD and David both have appraisals today too. So they're hoping to learn something.
And I was still alive.
Hopefully,
I know.
I'm not sure about yours, but his might be expert.
It doesn't hurt coverage. You just have to make it.
Problem is, my brain is coming down. And I have it in my phone. It's bad brain.
So while Sharon's gathering up words, I'll go ahead and get started. So we are the group of the mortgage. My name is Catherine France. This is Sharon Walker over here. Sharon is my momager. So we've worked together for longer than I'd like to admit. She is my momager. So it's good though, because there's a level of two of us. If somebody calls me or somebody calls her, we know that both of us can take care of it. She's a valuable source, a valuable resource that I wouldn't be able to do this job without. So just a quick introduction. We are a residential mortgage company. We don't do any commercial. We can do some land loans, HELOCs. We can do multi-unit, like apartment complexes, things like that. But what it comes down to is we are a mortgage lender and we do houses. We do have, when I say local operations, all of our processing and underwriting tools are in-house. So we have a relationship with all of our ops teams, which helps us push things through. I was actually just emailing an underwriter about a closing I have this month. So it's nice to be able to reach out to somebody if we have questions and keep a personal level. Our company has a nonprofit called Partners Making a Difference, in which they help families in underserved communities. That's just a little bit about the company that we work for. They also have very progressive in people, especially in this industry. It's in our side of the industry, it's very male-driven. And so they've taken the initiative to set a podcast of ladies in lending. They've actually called Sharon and had her on the podcast. So if you want a good podcast to check out, they interview realtors and other women in the real estate industry. So it's a good resource. We actually just closed our 100th loan for the year last month. So we're really excited about putting that milestone. It feels like 100 more right now we're working on, which is great. It's a great thing to happen. But that's who we are. We have a little over 50 years experience in the industry. Obviously, she has more than I do. Just a little bit.
I like what you said, though.
She
has to point this out because we look so much like this.
So one thing, and I'm going to rush through this part because this is the boring stuff, and then we'll jump into the appraisals. One thing that I want you guys, or some things that I want you guys to know about us, is that working with us, you're going to get a weekly update. And Shabonda, I know we've got one going with her right now. Every single week, she gets an email from me, actually this morning at about 7 o'clock, that details what's happening in the appraisal, the approval, everything that's happened with that loan. We copy everybody on it, so everybody's involved. That way, we're not missing anything. And selfishly, it cuts down on the number of phone calls that we get each week. We have a hand-selected local appraisal panel. So if you guys have a favorite appraiser, please let us know and we'll add them to our appraisal panel. We don't like to work with people that give us bad appraisals. We kick them off our panel if they're not good. So we both have a sense of market knowledge. I know she doesn't look like it. She's got 43 years experience. So with her 43 years experience, she's got some creative financial solutions. So if you have a tough borrower, we can probably figure it out. We have a reputation of rescuing. The one I just emailed about is actually a rescue that's supposed to close on September 15th, and I got it on Friday. So
it's already approved.
Already approved. So anyway, so having Sharon, like I said, on our team is a valuable asset. We also have our approval surprises, which we're going to give away one today. Every time your client gets approved, we send out an approval surprise, and it's got some local handmade cookies in there and a little note. It's something to be excited about when you get approved for a house. So that's what we send out. And then finally, if you want to partner with us on list reports, we'd love to do so. If you haven't used list reports before, it's kind of like a listing for dummies. You go in and it makes all the stuff for you. You just print it out.
As soon as your listing goes live on MLS, all the materials are there. It's already put together.
So you don't have to do anything extra. It's already there.
Even demographics and everything.
So I guess a little bit about us.
Before we get started, I'll tell a little bit more about me. But in 43 years, sorry, that I've pretty dry, that I've been doing mortgages, I would say about 10 of it was underwriting. And so, but I'm so old and been around so long, as way before DU and LP and automatic underwriting and credit scores and all that stuff. So I think that's my advantage, because the first about 15 years in the mortgage industry was before all that. So credit reports used to take 3 weeks, appraisals took a month or two. And, you know, I've been through a couple of refi avalanches. When I started the mortgage industry, the rates were 13.9%. My job was to go through the portfolio of the bank and identify all the loans that were 12% or lower and call them to help try to talk them into refinancing to a 10¾ ARM. There were two kinds of ARMs. There were 2.6 cap ARMs and negative AM. And it was just, I mean, that was my job. So, and those are some big rates. These rates right now, they're not. But what I wanted to say about the underwriting is that every loan that we do is basically pre-underwritten. We issue a pre-approval. So the pre-approvals are valid. We don't issue a pre-approval unless we know it's going to be approved. But I don't have to, you know, listing agents will call me all the time and say, well, has it been through underwriting? I just want to say it doesn't have to be through underwriting because I know it's going to get approved. You know, I've already looked at the tax returns. I've analyzed it. I've already, you know, checked their overtime. We've got their last W-2s, everything. So that is a strength. And Catherine.
You're the opposite of Rocket.
Excuse me? Yes.
You're the opposite of Rocket.
We try to keep that reputation.
but Catherine has been in it, and there's a stroke for 10 years now. And you know, she's been with me the entire time, and she grew up with this. She used to say that, you know, whenever you talk about mortgages, all I hear is blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, and when she goes to college, she's an economist, and she's like, Mom, all that blah, blah? Like, I get it now. That makes this easy. All that stuff that you were saying all these years is sort of sunk in. But Calvin puts a lot of creativity into things that I don't think about because I'm a boomer and I have a different way of looking at things or relating to people. And then with her being a millennial, she has a lot more creativity and a lot of insight to things that I don't really think about. So between us, you know, we make a pretty good team.
All right, so we'll
talk. And I have a testimony. I'm not saying this trying to do this, but she closed an FHA loan for me in technically 9 days. It was going Christmas holiday.
No.
And we closed the 30th, it was, at the end of the year.
Which one was that?
He paid her house.
And
we had required repairs on the FHA appraisal. So I just let you know. It was a test.
They're also available all the time.
Which
you take advantage of.
I'm late because I was trying to get a pre-approval from her so I can put an offer in before I get here. But I'm going to ask you about that too when we're done. It's some other, you know, one of those where you got to put in a bid and they want the information. So.
Are you paying for this advertisement?
I told her, I said, I'll get your pre-approval letter to come with.
Just got your voicemail. Orchard, so somebody tell her about Orchard later.
Okay. Excited. All right, you ready? Okay, let's talk about appraisal. Who's excited to talk about appraisals?
I am, actually.
All right. Good. Yeah, it's way more interesting than what we're doing.
Thank you all for coming today, because it's so exciting to see so many people here.
Yeah, I'm understanding why you're so surprised about the Duluth bubble.
Hey, are we talking about Duluth? I'm representing
Duluth. She's here.
No, you're always there.
What do you think appraisers are looking for? So this is interactive. So you guys tell me, what do you think appraisers are looking for when they're looking at a house or a property?
Wood rock and stuff like that.
Just tell me what you think they're looking for. What are they looking for? Property.
Sorry, conditions.
Bedrooms and baths.
Yes. Conditions, big one.
Yeah.
Square footage is a big
one. Yes.
Same schools, conditions. Anything ahead of the property.
Yes. Very important. My
concessions.
Which is also important to make sure that if you have a counteroffer, make sure we get the counteroffer before we order the appraisal, because we're going to look at that. Mm-hmm. So some other stuff they consider seller closing costs, concessions, going to the value. whenever they're looking at comps, they want to know if other comps in the neighborhood about seller consent. Oh, you guys hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, quick question. Sorry. Yes. Closing cost.
Yes.
How does that influence? How do they, so let's say $10,000 in closing costs. How is that viewed by an appraiser? How is that skewed? Are they looking at
submit
the contract price, or are they looking at contract minus 10?
They're looking at it like a net price. So when they give us the value, though, we're still getting the value of the property, but they consider whether other houses in the same neighborhood have also closed costs.
Sure.
So if a house sells for $500,000 down the street and you're selling for $500,000 plus $10,000 closing costs, your sale isn't actually as its value. Right. So you're $10,000 less.
Got it.
So it is something that's considered. So when they're looking at other comps in the neighborhood, they want to see if something's appraising for $510,000, well, this one appraised for $520,000, but they paid $10,000 closing costs. That's kind of the same thing.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. I didn't know they turned it. Normally customary for
sellers to. Yeah. It's a normal market. Or is it a market where kind of like the COVID times where everything was no seller closing costs whatsoever, right? So we're going to talk about that a little bit later too. Anything else you want to add on things that they look for? So lots of different things. We're going to go.
A question about that, though. I did interrupt, but here's the thing I've noticed for a lot of years. Get an appraiser. And I've hired appraisers sometimes who want to get out of appraisals, but they have all wiped out because they can't figure out market value. They can't figure it out, right? They get frustrated on listing appointments. They get frustrated trying to make offers for buyers. And it seems to me that if they know the purchase price of a contract, now they have a general target. But without that general target, their numbers are so wild that they just can't do it. So I'm kind of curious, in the appraisal world, right? How do they determine value? Generally, it's big for an appraisal, because we all know that the last thing you want to have happen is your seller to get an appraisal. That's the last thing. Right. We all know that appraisal requires a higher than purchase.
I can answer this.
Yeah, please.
So appraiser starts with a contract and a sales price.
Right.
All right. Then they look at this property and it's a 2,500 square foot 3-2 and it's selling for 550. Throw a number down there.
Yeah.
So that's where they start. So then they're also going to start looking at what has sold in the 550 range that is comparable to this property, other 2,500 square foot houses, other 3-2 houses. That's where they start. So that's what the market has shown that this house is worth, because that's what the sale price offer was. So they have to find other houses to compare in the same market area that support that size and value, that size and I guess room count for that price. So can that price of that house that's being sold be supported with comparable sales?